I hope and pray you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb this morning. Amen. That's your only hope. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. It had to come through the blood, folks. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. We talked about the marriage supper of the Lamb, the coming of Christ, the object of his coming, the reign of the church, and the rule of the church with Christ, the rapture. And this morning we want to talk about this topic according to the Word of God. Jesus is coming for the Jews, folks. I believe there's all kind of theologies out there and all kind of arguments, replacement theology and all this stuff. I don't believe in none of it. I don't believe in a dual covenant. I believe there's only one covenant. And that covenant is the blood of Jesus Christ and faith in Christ alone. In the Old Testament, they got saved like we did during the New Testament. Faith in God alone. Abraham, righteousness was accounted to him by faith. Faith in God. Faith in God alone. We see it throughout that. They were looking towards the cross and the promises of the Messiah. We're looking back at the cross. But folks, you always get saved by faith in God alone and the grace of God alone. That's the bottom line. Now, all of those who want to be wrong can be wrong, but I can tell you this, God's not finished with the nation of Israel and the Jewish people, the Hebrew people. He's coming back in all of his glory. He's going to take up his dealings with Israel immediately at the beginning of that tribulation, culminating in a great battle called Armageddon. And I want to tell you something, folks. During that millennium, God's Jewish people is going to be a blessing to all the nations according to the Word of God. The boundary lines have been made. God has established it. And nobody can undo it and nobody can untwist it. So let's read a few verses together before we get into the sermon this morning in Genesis chapter 12. The Bible says here in Genesis chapter 12, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will." You ever notice when things are repetitive in the Word of God, "I will, I will, I will"? Folks, this just reminds us, this is God speaking. This is his commandments, his ordinances, his boundaries, his chosen people. We can't undo what God says and what God wills. "And I will bless those who bless you," in verse 3. "I will curse, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they have accumulated, and all the possessions which they have acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land. I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abram journeyed on, continuing towards Negev. Let us pray. Our Father God in heaven, I pray you fill me with your Holy Spirit, that your word would go forth in mighty power. Lord, just remind us this morning of the precious promises of God. Let us leave here good. It was saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Lord, I pray you fill me with your Holy Spirit, your word would go forth with clarity. And Lord God, let us look up, for our redemption draweth nigh, Lord. And let us be found faithful, steadfast, immovable, abounding in the faith as we have been taught. And Lord, we'll give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for all that you do. In the name of Jesus, our great God and Savior, we pray. I want to start this morning with a quote by Dr. A.T. Pearson. He says, "The history of the Jews should be spelled God's story." The history of the Jews should be spelled God's story. Why does he say this? He goes on to say, God's story with the Jewish nation and the Jewish people is a story of choice, it's a story of grace, and it's a story of judgment. God's story is a story of choice, a story of grace, and a story of judgment. Folks, God is coming back in all of his glory one day, and he's going to take up his dealings with the nation of Israel. Everything we see taking place in this world, and we'll finish the end of this sermon with some of the certainties that are going on around us concerning Israel, but we have got to remind ourselves, first of all, of what the Word of God teaches about the Jews, about Abraham, about the covenants of God, and all of these things. And the Word of God makes it abundantly clear. It's not confusing. It's not chaotic. It's in the Word of God, and it's very simple. The first thing we see is the history of their calling. We see Abraham's call right here in verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country to a land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation." What is interesting about Abraham's calling? Well, first of all, you got to realize that Abraham wasn't looking for God. He didn't know God. God appears to Abraham, and he reveals himself to Abraham. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Not only does he reveal himself to Abraham, he starts a nation by a divine miracle of God by revealing himself to Abraham. Why is that important for you and I to understand? Because the Bible says they are the apple of God's eye. They're a nation that was established by a miracle of God. God appears and reveals himself to Abraham and begins a nation. Folks, they're the only nation, think about this, on the face of this earth that was started by a divine miracle of God. All other nations begin by some man or some tribe or some group, begin by wars and overcoming people and conquering each other. But God takes this special place, these Hebrews, and develops a nation by a divine miracle of God revealing himself to Abraham. The term Jew is a shorter version of Judah. And then I want you to think about this. Israel as a name began when Jacob's name was changed to Israel. God brings all of this about and weaves it together underneath the divine sovereignty of God. Begin when his name was changed to Israel. It's amazing when we remember this thought when we think about the nation of Israel and the Hebrew people. Think about this for a second. Abraham was the father of Isaac. You know this genealogy? Isaac was the father of Jacob, and Jacob was the father of Judah. All comes together underneath God's perfect sovereign choice and his will for a nation that he formed. Then Abraham's commission, we see in verse 2, he says, "I will make you a great nation." And listen to what God says. "I will bless you, and I will make your name great." There was a twofold purpose, folks, for what God did through Abraham and the Hebrew people. Number one, to be a vessel for the lineage of Christ. You can trace it all the way back to what God did when he established them as a nation, folks. It was to be a vessel for the lineage of Christ and the Messiah to come and to be born. The second thing we see in the purpose was so that God's people, the Hebrews, could be a blessing to the nations. Folks, and I want to encourage you and remind you that just like underneath the new covenant where we've been saved by the grace of God through Christ alone, the whole purpose of the gospel coming to you was so that it could go to someone else. We could be a conduit, a vessel of blessing that God can use to share the gospel with those who are lost and undone. That was a twofold purpose. The lineage of Christ coming from Abraham, and not only that they would share the truth of the one true God with all the nations around them. Folks, the gospel is never, ever meant all the way from Abraham to the New Testament church was never meant for us to keep to ourselves. It's always meant to be a blessing to those around us as we share about the one true God and the plan of salvation with a lost and dying world. Now, here's the sticky part. If you believe in the covenant promises of God that they cannot be undone, then you also have to believe in the commandments of God that are connected, or the warnings that are connected with the covenant. And God says right here, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and I will make you great in verse 2. And then he says in verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those with a curse who curse you. Folks, I don't know about you, but I believe the covenant is eternal. It can't be undone. And I also believe the warnings are eternal. If the covenant can't be done, then the warnings that go with it cannot be undone, folks. What are you trying to say, Brother Marty? I'm trying to tell you here this morning that all these presidents who get up and say these fancy words, and then they say all of these things and give a big old speech, and then at the end they say, God, may God bless America. Yeah, this might ruffle a few feathers, but I'm not really worried here this morning about being an ear tickler. Obama and Biden and other presidents, folks, who side with Hamas, the Palestinians, and terrorist groups against the nation of Israel are inviting the curses of God upon this country. They are inviting, literally, the curses of God upon this country when we do not stand in solidarity with God's chosen people. His covenant is eternal. His people are the apple of his eye. And he said in that covenant, the warnings with it, I will curse those who curse you. And we covered this last week, folks. President moves the embassy of America all the way over from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and all of the most of the world got upset and enraged, folks. I want to tell you, if you want to be blessed, folks, as a nation, as a country, as an individual, you better realize this. Israel and the Jews, the Hebrew people, are God's chosen people. That settles it. God said it, and it's not open for discussion. And it never will be open for discussion. A lot of people just overlook all of these things that are going on in this world. But one godly man said these words, if you want to know what the end times look like, just keep your eye on Israel. Keep your eyes on Israel and what's going on with God's chosen people. And I want to tell you, folks, the wagons are circling right now. And no one can deny it. This ain't about Ukraine, folks. This ain't about the land of Crimea and Ukraine. This is all about continuing and coming across and then coming south right over through the Black Sea to the nation of Israel to destroy them. There is a satanic agenda going on in this world right now, folks, against God's chosen people. Whether you realize it here this morning or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you're not interested in the prophetic word of God, you better get your rapture boots on because he's coming soon. Abraham's country. Right here in verse 7, he says, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to your descendants, I will give you this land. And I want you to think about this for a second. In chapter 17, verse 7 and 8, God repeats this covenant with Abraham, except now instead of 70-something years old, he's 90 years old. God reiterates this covenant with Abraham all over again. The boundary lines have been set. The boundary marks have been set. This is the land. I've given it to you. Folks, that's all we see for is a push right now in the day and age, a dual state, Palestinian and Jew. God says, no, no dual state. These are my children. These are the boundary lines that I have set. You don't give it to nobody. It belongs to the children of God, and it was ordained by God. You can't undo what God has done, folks. And all these peace treaties you see going on and all of these things going on are nothing but an attempt to set up what we're going to call the Great Tribulation and the Antichrist and the Beast to come against Israel to totally try to redefine what God has already said in the Holy Word of God. That country belongs to them. It was given to them by God. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to your descendants, I will give you the land. God reiterates this at 90 years old to Abraham. Here's what God said. Listen to it. Chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. Listen to this carefully. Pay attention to words in the scriptures. Their generations, he says, for an everlasting covenant. Folks, you know what everlasting means in the Greek? Everlasting. It's going to last forever. You can't undo it. Everlasting covenant. He says, I will give to you and your descendants after you the land of your sojourning. He says, listen to this. All the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Not part of the land. Not some of the land. He says all of the land. And this is an everlasting covenant. It can't be undone. The land belongs to the children of God, the Hebrew children of God, and the nation of Israel. That settles it, and you can't undo it. And that's exactly what the world's trying to do right now. They're trying to undo everything and anything in the Word of God that pertains to the chosen children of God. Folks, God's not done with them. I want you to know this is a fixed fight. All of the nation and kings of the world that are coming against the nation of Israel are going to stand before God. God is their rock and their defense, and nothing's going to change it according to the Word of God. All of the news, all of the false peace treaties will all be broken. And one day, Christ, the Son of the living God, at the very end of that tribulation is going to come down and take up dealings with all the enemies of God that have come against the children of God, the nation of Israel. We see the history of their redemption, a redemption by grace. I want you to think about this for a second when you think about God saving you by grace as his child, your own salvation testimony and experience. Would you agree here this morning you were saved by grace? It wasn't of your merit. It wasn't nothing good you done. It wasn't because you smelt good and looked good and cooked good. You were saved because you were lost and undone and without hope, and you turned and repented of your sins, and you laid your life down as a wicked, broken sinner and cried out to God for his mercy and grace, and God saved you on the basis of his own love and mercy and grace, not yours. And this is what happened with the children of God. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down, listen to this, to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians. God delivered them and saved them by the grace of God. Not only do we see a redemption of grace in their lives, we see a redemption by his blood. Make no mistake about it, folks. Everything that happened right here with the redemption by the blood and the lamb and the doorpost was a shadow of what was to come. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world would shed his blood and die on an old rugged cross and be raised from the dead. And we would be saved by the redemption of the precious blood of the Lamb. But we see redemption by his blood. Exodus chapter 12, verse 5. Your lamb, God instructed him through Moses, shall be an unblemished male. Does that sound familiar? Christ, the sinless, perfect Lamb of God, without sin, knew no sin, when reviled, did not revile, but a humble servant, a helpless lamb, went to the cross, perfect and sinless, and died on the cross. Does this sound familiar to us? Your lamb shall be an unblemished male. Kill it at twilight, he told the Hebrew children. Put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel of the house. And then he says, I will strike down the firstborn of Egypt. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Folks, I want to tell you that's your only hope this morning. When God comes back in all of his glory, when he sees the blood of Jesus Christ upon the child of God, saved by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, God's judgment will pass over you and rapture you up out of this world, saved by the grace of God, washed by the blood of the Lamb, standing in the presence of God because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Does that ring a bell to anybody? And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Does that ring a bell to you, Miss Sybil? And when I see the blood, When I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Folks, we better thank God for the precious blood of the Lamb of God, and that God delivers us on the basis of his blood that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. Now, this is impromptu when we didn't have much practice, but I want y'all to join with me, and I mean sing it from your heart and sing it loud, amen? Y'all ready to join in and sing to the Lamb of God? Come on, let's do it, amen? Let's do it. Get each other pumped up. Put on your game face. Get on the battlefield. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That blood was precious to those Hebrew children. But folks, how precious is to us when they had the shadow, but we've got the substance. The Son of the living God hung on that cross to redeem you and I by his precious blood, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Redemption by his blood, redemption by his power. These Hebrew children were redeemed by the power of God. You think about Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. He says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. You think about the history as their lives followed along, as they put their faith in God and God established this nation by a miracle of God. The plagues couldn't get them. It couldn't touch them. The Red Sea parted. They had the enemies of God behind them. The chariots, the wheels of the chariots were thundering and coming behind them. There was mountain on both sides and a Red Sea in front of them. And God tells Moses, stretch out your staff and hold it up. And the Red Sea parts and God delivers the children of God by the power of God. Aren't you thankful that God's still delivering you and delivering me by the power of Almighty God? We don't have to go through this earthly life alone. We can trust in God. We can believe God. We can walk by faith in God Almighty, and he'll fight our every battle, and he's never lost one. His record is unblemished. Redemption by his power, plagues, the Red Sea parting, 40 years in the wilderness, and then ultimately they enter into the promised land. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. We might go through wilderness experiences. We may go through sickness. We may go through death. We may go through all the many other trials and the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from all of them. Jesus said, these things have I spoken to you, and me you'll have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If God is for me, who can be against me? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Thank God he's still delivering the saints of the living God. That was weak. Thank God he's still delivering the children of God. Hey, let's just learn how to do it right, amen. If we're going to do it right. He's delivering the children of God. No, man, clap like you delivered, praise God. It ain't all about emotions, but it don't hurt to get a little excited every now and then for Christ, folks. There is a difference between reverence and rigor mortis, and you know what that is. Redemption by his power. Then we see the history of their possession. The adoption of God himself, making a nation through a miracle of God. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22 says, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. Think about the privilege of the nation of Israel, the privilege of his glory, the Shekinah glory of God as he took care of the children of God. They exit out of Egypt, and the Bible says a tabernacle was built, and the Bible says there was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Folks, that just reminds me that God will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll be with us always, even until the end of the world. When they needed to sit still, they would be still and know that he was their God. When they needed to move, Moses would sound the trumpet and they knew, pick up the tents and take all your belongings. It's time to move. God has spoken. But he gave them the privilege of his Shekinah glory of God. He gave them the privilege of the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. Moses comes down in the very act of coming down from the mountain with the tablets of God. Thou shalt have no other gods before the Lord thy God. And what does he find? The children of God in their rebellion against God had developed a golden calf and was already worshiping a foreign god. And yet God gives them the Ten Commandments. What a privilege. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Thou shalt have no idols, no idolatry. Thou shalt not murder. Folks, what it would be in a world that would just simply obey the word of God. The privilege of his commandments, the privilege of his glory, the privilege of his covenants. He made covenants with the children of God through David, through Abraham. And then we see the privilege of the priesthood and the temple. God gave them everything to reveal himself over and over and over again. He gives them priests. He gives them a priesthood. These animal sacrifices that are all the shadow of the substance that's going to come. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God. Jesus not only is a perfect sacrifice, but the great high priest according to the Hebrew writer. Now we don't need no priest with a robe or no confession booth to intercede between us and between God. There's one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. If I want to be made right with God, I go to Jesus. If I want to stay right with God, I go to Jesus. If I want to live right for God, I go to Jesus, folks. I don't need no priest. I don't need no animal sacrifice. I've got the blood of the Lamb. We was in an ecumenical prayer movement one time, and the priest said, I'm not really good at praying spontaneous prayers. Can we say the Our Father? I know some of you Baptists think you got a direct line to God. Hallelujah, praise God. I've got a direct line to God. I want everybody in the world to know I can just go to Jesus and pray and lift my burdens towards the Lord and leave them there. I can come to the throne room of God and receive mercy and find help in a time of need because I've been washed by the precious blood of the Lamb, and he's my mediator between me and my Father. I don't need nobody else. The privilege of the priesthood and the temple, the privilege of God's promises, the privileges of the fathers and the patriarchs like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They were a privileged people, folks. God gave them everything they needed to point them towards himself and the Messiah who was coming. Then we see the history of their rebellion. We always say, boy, this is so interesting. How could God give them all of that and privilege them so much, and they still rebel against God? Well, I've got a question for you. How could God die on the cross, shed his blood, save you by his grace, and you still rebel against God? You still not give God your very best. You still get lazy and apathetic and indifferent. How can we do such a thing when Christ has shed his blood and died for us and give us eternal life and rose from the dead? The history of their rebellion. Moses told them in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 27, I know your rebellion and your stubbornness. Behold, while I am still alive, how much more than after my death? Folks, that's not hard to figure out and understand. Moses said, man, if I'm in your presence and God's speaking to me and I'm speaking to y'all and y'all are disobeying God, what's going to happen after I die? If you're running in disobedience now, headlong disobeying God. Folks, our obedience should be to God 24/7. It should not be short-lived. It should not be spontaneous. The history of their rebellion, they constantly disobeyed God. They committed idolatry. They hardly ever had faith. And yet God in his mercy and grace continue to work with the children of God over and over and over again. Hey, there's hope for you and I. Don't we get down on ourselves, and don't sometimes we get discouraged and depressed and in a valley and we get away from the things of God and we become cold and indifferent? Hey, don't we all do that at times in our life? I know I certainly do. But thank God, in our lives as saved children of God, God keeps on working with us just like he did the children of God in the Word of God. Over and over and over again. We see the history of their rebellion. Then we see their scattering. Amos foretold of their scattering in the book of Amos. Times of the Gentiles began with Nebuchadnezzar. God's Hebrew children were scattered across the earth, and folks, they're going to remain completely and totally scattered until Christ comes back and gathers them all together. Scattered, attacked, and persecuted. Might I share this with you folks? And I know the pundits in Washington, a lot of them, and CNN and MSNBC and all these other kooky networks don't believe this. The most persecuted race on the face of this earth has been the Jewish people. Has been the Jewish people, folks. A lot of people don't like hearing this. We not only go the Holocaust, you can go back and trace history of all the deaths and all. Folks, they were even exiled out of certain countries and weren't even allowed into certain countries just because they were a Jew. They did not want them in their countries. There was ordinances and laws put in place. The Spanish Inquisition, if you do even just a little bit of studying, the Roman Catholic Church killed many Jews. But we don't like to talk about stuff like that because that ruffles feathers and that brings up all kind of arguments and all kind of resentments against the truth. The most persecuted race on the face of this earth has been the Jewish race, folks. Make no mistakes about it. The history of their scattering, and then we see their protection. I'm going to try to close with this, but I got one more closing after it. Their protection. Amos chapter 9, verse 8. God has made an everlasting, eternal promise to the Jewish race, folks. You can find that in Amos chapter 9, verse 8. He says, I will not totally destroy the house of Jacob, declares the Lord. I will not. You know what I will not means in the Greek? The same thing when my dad told me, you're not going to do this. In English, that's what it meant. You ain't going to do it. It's not open for discussion. God said, I will not destroy the house of Jacob, declares the Lord. One godly writer said, God is faithful no matter. God is faithful. No man or nation can destroy the Jew. One might as well try to destroy God than to try to destroy Egypt. Egypt couldn't keep them. The Red Sea couldn't drown them. Haman's gallows couldn't hang them. The lion's den couldn't eat them. The fiery furnace couldn't burn them. A prophet couldn't curse them. And the nations will never, ever, ever destroy the nation of Israel. So what are you trying to say, Brother Marty? President Xi, get over it. Get over yourself. Ahmadinejad in Iran, get over yourself. Russia and rootin', Putin, tootin' cowboy, get over yourself. God's on the scene. The apple of his eye is underneath his witness plan and his protection, and no nation will ever destroy the nation of Israel. None. Now there's going to be, during this great tribulation, a great push to destroy them. Zechariah even prophesies that all the nations of the earth are going to turn against Israel. Folks, it's going to look like at one point they finally get destroyed. But God. Everybody's forgetting about God. Everybody's overlooking the fact that God is still on his throne. His promises are going to stand true. And I said I had a second closing before I get too carried away and get back preaching the sermon two and three times. I want to finish with this. I wrote some interesting things down going on in the world right now. The eternal time clock of God is ticking, folks. Oh, Jeff, I'm about to trip. Catch me. Slain in the spirit. I went Pentecostal on y'all. I want y'all to listen to this and listen carefully, folks, what's going on in this world, because there's a lot of people sleeping, not taking note of what's going on the world scene and politics. I'm not into preaching politics from the pulpit, but we better take note of what's going on in this world, folks. Biden just issued new sanctions against Russia, and I'm going to tie all this in together. President Xi is meeting with Putin on a regular basis discussing about joining arms to defeat the United States of America. Joining arms. Now, if you know even just a little bit about the prophetic word of God, folks, Russia, Iran, and China, Turkey, Libya, all these countries are in cahoots. They're all in cahoots that are going to come together, and they're going to form a coalition of countries and leaders underneath the leadership of the Antichrist that are going to move towards Israel to annihilate them off the face of the earth. That's why these things are important. President Xi is going to supply arms to Russia to destroy Ukraine. All the prophetic pieces of the puzzle, folks, are being put together. They're all being put together, interwoven by the holy word of God. The Bible prophesied of all these things that are taking place right now. Israel has just hinted in the last 2 weeks of bombing Iran's nuclear site. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Once that happens, all literal hell is going to take place on this earth. So you think about this. Everybody keeps talking about World War III, World War III. They better be more interested in the war of Armageddon than what's really fixing to take place besides a World War III. A Menajab vowed when Obama was in office to totally eradicate Israel and America off of the face of the earth in his lifetime. Well, he's still living. He ain't the leader of Iran no more, folks. But I want to tell you something. When you talk about eradicating God's chosen people, the apple of his eye, off of the face of this earth, you better look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. All of the pieces are coming together, folks. Menajab vowed to eradicate Israel off the face of this earth. Now listen to this. Biden and both Obama both gave millions and millions of dollars to the greatest arch enemy of God's chosen people, Iran. Now, I'm not the smartest Cajun in the world, but if you told me you were going to kill me, I don't think I'd go down to Academy and buy 9mm and give it to you for Christmas and say, can't we just be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we? Folks, you don't give millions and millions of dollars to someone who has vowed not only to destroy you, but to destroy God's chosen people. This Iran deal that they keep peddling is inviting the curses of God upon the United States of America is all it's doing. Ungodly and wicked people are given millions of dollars from our own leaders that hate Israel and hate us. And then, remember this, folks. God said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. We saw some of the greatest years of this country in the last 70 years, and I'm not trying to get political on you, when President Trump said, we are Israel's greatest ally, and we're going to move our American embassy to Jerusalem, and we're going to proclaim that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. I don't care what your religious, your political beliefs are. But I'm telling you, folks, you don't mess with God's people. You don't go against the covenant promises of God. They are written there for a reason. And I want to tell you something, folks. God's coming back, not only for his church and going to rapture us off of this earth, his sovereign, omnipotent, protective hand is on the nation of Israel. It said they would be restored as a nation again. That happened in 1948. And now everything's in place, just waiting on the return of Christ. People get ready. Jesus is coming. Soon we're going to be going home. I'm ready, Freddy. I tell you what, I feel like John as I look at all the wicked, crazy things going on in this world. Lord, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. It can't be quick enough. And yet, the Bible says many people are just going to be going about their daily lives, eating and drinking, living it up, enjoying life. Everything's good. Everything's good. It's like Brother Larry Jordan when he preached about a man jumping out of a 10-story building. Everything's good so far. Everything's good so far. Everything's good so far. Well, there's coming a day, folks, when the door's going to be shut and everything's not going to be good. The day of grace has departed, and there's no second opportunity. Where does this leave you at this morning as a child of God? I tell you what, we ought to be prayed up, man, on the battlefield, serving God, preaching Jesus, loving each other, praying for each other, and when Christ returns in all of his glory, we are not only ready and saved by the grace of God, we're on the front line doing business for God Almighty because he's worth it. Where does this leave you this morning if you lost? You don't want to be here during this tribulation. That's all I can tell you. A tribulation and a judgment and the wrath of God like this earth has never experienced since God created it. You can think of all the plagues. You can think of 9/11. You can think of the Holocaust. You can think of the earthquakes in Turkey. You can think of the tsunamis. You can think of World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam. All of that put together can't compare to the wrath of God that's coming to this earth. And so I ask you, I plead with you this morning to search your heart before you leave this church. Are you religious or are you right with God through his son Jesus? Have you been washed by the precious blood of the Lamb? Have you been saved by the grace of God? Did you repent of your sins and turn from your sins and lay your life down for Christ and follow him? Or did you follow a preacher or a youth pastor or your mom or your daddy or your grandmother, or your grandfather, other youth? Did you follow Christ? Or are you following and believing on him as your only hope, your only means of salvation? Folks, there's a thin line between religion and a saving relationship with God through his son, and you better get it straight before he comes back. Only the redeemed of God are going to be swept up off of this earth. Only the saved, only those who have repented and laid their life down for Christ and are following him are going to be raptured up out of here. I hope and pray you're ready now.